Time to dive into the Vegas Bowl. Third meeting between the Ducks and Broncos. He's the guy who covers the BSU beat for the Idaho Statesman online. Catch his Bronco beat at idahostatesman.com. On Twitter, the handle's at Dave Southorn. Dave, how are things?
They are wonderful. Just got into Vegas this afternoon and starting to get settled and starting to do all the bowl week goodness. So, yeah, it's going pretty good now.
So as a first-time guest, maybe a little background on yourself. Where do you hail from? Maybe where you did your undergrad and how long you've been covering the Boise State beat for the Statesman?
Oh, yeah, good call. I grew up in Minneapolis. I actually lived in the Seattle area for about 10 years. Actually went to Washington games growing up, and I'm a Colorado grad. And I've been around the Pac-12 a bit, and I've been covering Boise State as my main gig for about 10 years now. So,
oh, nice run, by the way.
Yeah, thanks.
So it's the Vegas Bowl. We got a couple of programs who in recent years have been in and won major bowls. But I would say coming into this season, maybe limited expectations. So considering, you know, the Mountain West is such a strong conference of the non-powered fives playing against Oregon, all of a sudden it seems like this is actually one of the more interesting early bowl games, you think?
Oh, 100%. I think for the Las Vegas Bowl itself, it's pretty close to an ideal matchup for them to get these two teams. And, you know, as far as Boise State's concerned, they absolutely, I mean, they love it. There's, of course, the history there between the two teams, but also you've got the fact that, you know, both are geographically close. They're Nike schools. They're teams that had an ascension around the same time. Two of the top scoring teams in the nation since 2000. So I think, well, there's a lot of subplots here, and I think for Boise State fans especially, too, this was the ideal matchup. I think pretty much any other Pac-12 school that was going to maybe be in Vegas was not nearly as interesting as Oregon.
Now, last week was pretty interesting around here. Obviously, Willie Taggart left for Florida State. Then there were 3 or 4 days of speculation, and one of the names that surfaced as a replacement, Brian Harsin. So I don't know if it's you, your colleagues, those around the program. What was the feeling about maybe the possibility of losing your head coach to Oregon?
Yeah, I think it was really interesting. It wasn't something that really became evident last year until maybe a couple weeks after Willie had been hired, that maybe Harsin was a bit more of a real candidate than I think most people thought, even myself included. The more I kind of heard more about it, he was definitely a viable candidate last year. But I think this year there was an interesting twist in, you know, kind of wanting a little bit of stability, and they had that with Mario. And I think that if maybe they didn't have a guy like that, I think Brian would have been more of a candidate, you know, from here. But I think that it just kind of worked out well for both teams that that Harsin probably wasn't going to be the guy as much this year as it was last year.
Now, on the last day of the regular season, Boise lost to Fresno State. But, you know, they were all kind of locked in. Then they played for the Mountain Division title, and, you know, then they beat them. So I'm looking at this team, the quarterback situation. You think about Zabransky, Kellen Moore, a great tradition. I know Brian Rippon was injured early in the season. So how would you evaluate the kind of year he had playing QB for Boise?
Yeah, he was a guy that he'd been the first team all-conference quarterback 2 years in a row, his first two seasons here. So I think there were very high expectations. But I think I tried a little bit to temper them. His wide receiver group was very inexperienced. The offensive line wasn't very settled. And I think because of those factors, it was going to take some time for the offense to click, and we 100% saw that. First month that they just didn't have a good rhythm. But you've seen what Brett's done since Mountain West play started. That he's been excellent, and only throwing one interception in conference play. So I think it's kind of clicking for him and for the rest of the offense, and I think we've got a little bit of mojo going, and I think what we're seeing now is kind of what people expected at the start of the year.
Their defensive coordinator, Alex Avalos, he's an alum, played under Dan Hawkins, but it's only his second season as coordinators. I look and you see some freshmen and sophomore play important roles. For those not all that familiar, how would you describe maybe the kind of the character or the strength of this defense the Ducks are going to face?
Yeah, this has been the most interesting, the most pleasant surprise for Boise State, I think. What they've been able to do with this unit, I mean, really, there aren't very many seniors. There's only really one senior that's really contributing much right now. They've had a senior linebacker in Gabe Perez who got hurt for the rest of the season. So on the two deep, there's really only two seniors on it, and only one really tends to play that much. And so with that factor in there and so much unknown, that has been the best part of this team, I think, and it has been the defense. They've been able to create turnovers, which they were horrible at last year, and they've been able to get some pressure. They recruited better getting, you know, athletes. They have guys who can do different things. They can have some depth. They can put different guys into situations to utilize their strengths. They have a freshman in Curtis Weaver, who's not even a starter, who's one of the sack leaders in the country among freshmen. They just put him in on third down, and he tees off on people. So I think that they've been playing the strengths, and I think they're an athletic defense, a defense that can create some turnovers, but also, you know, still pretty young and make some mistakes at times.
Talking Boise State football, Dave Southorn of the Idaho Statesman. I saw you wrote about something that is kind of new, and now beyond the craziness of February, you have to make a note of recruiting the next 8 to 10 days. What's been the word from Coach Harsin and his staff about, I don't know, maybe some of the difficulties presented hosting recruits and trying to prepare for this bowl game?
Yeah, it's been very interesting. Is, you know, the fact that they played you know, less than 2 weeks ago, and then they have to play a bowl game. So really in between, they tried to do their best in terms of, you know, a few guys were able to make campus visits, but also the coaches went out and tried to meet up with the guys that were committed, maybe trying to get those guys to sign in December, maybe going and trying to meet other recruits that they think they can get now or in February. And so, you know, the planning, it's a more stressful month now for those guys. It already was pretty difficult, but now you have two signing days. And, you know, if you don't sign your whole class now, you don't know what's coming in February. And I think that's really interesting for these guys, is that they're going to have a little bit of a reset, I think. You know, instead of doing it after February, they're going to do it in December, looking ahead to another signing day. So it's really interesting. I think they're going to get most of their class signed on December 20th. Got a couple guys who turned down some Power 5 offers, so I think it's what could be a pretty good class here if they can lock those guys down.
Now, on Sunday, you were talking about something that Oregon's also dealing with, not knowing if Tyler Crosby or Royce Freeman are going to play, if they're going to do what we saw from McCaffrey and Fournette last year, kind of a similar situation for one of the best linebackers on Boise State, Leighton Vander Esch. I mean, what's been the word if he's a go, and how important a player is he on that defense?
Yeah, I would fully expect him to play. He's been a huge part of this team. He used to play 8-man football up in Riggins, Idaho, and he was a walk-on. He was a quarterback when he was in high school, but he's an incredible athlete. And I think, he's made a huge difference. He's a Mountain West Defensive Player of the Year, and he's a guy who, you know, kind of reminds me a lot of what happened with Shane McClellan when he was at Boise State. He's had this rocket ascension to, you know, I think, you know, certain people get into his ear that he could be a pick in the top 50, what have you. He definitely could leave and maybe make this his last game. And, I think that remains to be seen, but I think there's a good shot maybe that this might be his last game.
And lastly, I'm always interested in the opposition view. We know the history, and, you know, despite not knowing if two important offensive players are going to be there, you get to talk with the coaches and the players. Well, what's the buzz about the caliber of the Oregon offense they think they'll face?
Yeah, I think that's one of the big challenges that they're going to have to face, especially with when Justin Herbert plays, it makes such a big difference, and I think that's pretty noticeable to anybody, you know, even if, you know, if you're not playing defense for Boise State, you can see that. So I think they're well aware of that and what he can do and the difference he makes. And I think they know the caliber of athletes that get recruited to Oregon. So if Royce doesn't play, they know that, you know, whoever can step in and play after him is still going to be pretty good. And that system can put up some points. We've seen it, you know, whether it was in their first game or their last game, that they have the potential to really, you know, hang it up. And I think that's going to be something that Boise State's really cognizant of.
Folks, Dave Southorn, he does a terrific job covering the beat for the Idaho Statesman. I would say enjoy Vegas. That seems like kind of a lock, but you travel safe, and we really appreciate your time.
Thanks.
So have a good one, Dave.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it.
All right, take it easy.